Stomach Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So earlier in the week, we wondered, was Mike Vrabel criticizing Derrick Henry? And how dare Vrabel do that if that's what he was doing after the Giants game, in which I thought Derrick Henry played pretty well? Vrabel was asked about the running game, and he brought up the meat on the bone. This is what Mike Vrabel said on Monday about the running game performance.
On the meat on the bone left on the running game, Mike, how much of that was left by Derrick himself?
I think probably some. There was, again, we're all in it out there, and we have to have a play design. Sometimes Derrick bounces, makes a huge play. Sometimes he sticks it up inside and, gets a couple dirty yards. So we've always trusted him with the football to go, and that's why I tell those guys to finish longer than the guy with the ball. And sometimes we've seen him break it out and make magic happen, and sometimes it's a 1 or 2 yard gain. So that's what we've entrusted him to do, and that's why he's our running back, and that's why we, rely heavily on him.
I mean, it almost feels like Vrabel was disappointed that Derrick Henry didn't bust a 90-yarder. It's like, it's really tough for us to win when Derrick doesn't go out there and hammer home an 85-yarder for us to win the game. And I thought it was kind of disrespectful. But the one thing that I like, and I believe in this show, we talk about it, got to be fair. Derrick Henry was asked about Vrabel's meat on the bone comment today. Here's what Derrick Henry said.
Coach Vrabel, I said that, looking back on the Giants game, there was a lot of meat left on the bone. When you hear that, like, how do you process that, and what's your response to it? Like, what does that mean to you?
No, yeah, he was right. I mean, it was a lot left on the bone, a lot of plays that, could have got more out of, I could have got more out of, and, taking heavy emphasis on that this week just so, when that time comes, take advantage of those plays when they're there. You got to make those plays, because in this league, it can be there, and then next thing you know, it closes. So just take advantage of those plays and get the most out of the play as well.
Talk about squashing beef right then and there. Derrick Henry saying, yeah, he's right. There was a lot.
Well, did you think he would say anything differently?
I didn't know how Derrick Henry would react.
I guess, I don't know if we brought this up on the show or if a texter brought it up, but the question was asked, do you think that Derrick Henry would say the same thing, that he left meat on the bone? And I think we all said, yeah, he probably would say that, because Derrick Henry has every right to critique his own performance. What I thought was the strange thing was the fact that Mike Vrabel never, ever singles anyone out for any sort of shortcomings or for what they did in a game in a negative light. And that's why I thought it was so surprising from Vrabel. I mean, I think we'd all agree, yeah, sure, we probably would have loved to see a 90-yard run popped up from Derrick. We'd all love to see that Derrick Henry magic happen. But it doesn't surprise me at all that Derrick would have said that. He probably feels the same way.
I'm not sure I was surprised when I heard Derrick say that, but I do think that it maybe changed my opinion of what I thought about Vrabel's comment. I mean, I watched the tape of all the running plays, and I felt like Derrick Henry played a good game on Sunday. And I didn't have any problem with the game Derrick played there.
Nope.
Maybe he could have cut it to the outside of Hollister on the 118-yard run and really turned that into one of the big runs.
He could have caught that pass. He could have caught the snap.
Right. Well, even catching the pass wouldn't have mattered because the guy was right there. But, yes. And Derrick did use that as an example when he was asked about, where could he have done more. He talked about dropping the snap on that Wildcat play, which, again, I thought was a stupid play call. But I guess it changes my opinion from the idea of, did I think Derrick would be offended by it? Did I think Derrick would be offended by the call out of a coach who covers for a kicker who misses a 47-yard kick when, Randy Bullock cost them the game. There is no way around it. Randy Bullock, now, again, I was talking to somebody about this today. Randy Bullock doesn't suck, but Randy Bullock is a below-average kicker. And this team, the way they want to win, they need average kicking, but they probably really need above-average kicking. A Buffalo doesn't need average kicking because they've got a great quarterback and a great offense. Kansas City had a nobody out there kicking last night, and it doesn't matter because they got Patrick Mahomes, and he'll find a way to make up for it. The Titans don't win that way, so they need at least average kicking, and they've got below-average kicking right now. But Vrabel's not going to get up there and say that Randy Bullock just didn't hit the ball right. I think Craig Aukerman today talked about he didn't follow through or trust his follow through or something like that, which they need to coach him to trust his follow through because either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. But they're never going to call out one guy. For Vrabel to sit there and say, like, yeah, Derek should have done better on Sunday, which is what that meat on the bone response was, even though he couched it at the end with, well, you know, this is why Derek's our guy and Derek's our running back. I took that as a disrespectful comment towards Derek Henry. But Derek doesn't take it as disrespectful. And I don't even think if Derek took it as disrespectful, he wouldn't come out and say,
no.
Yeah. I thought that was really disrespectful of Coach to say that about me. He wouldn't say that. But I don't think he would say, like, yeah, he's right. There's a bunch of times that I didn't do enough for our team to win. Now, I do believe that Derek has a lot of accountability, and I do believe that he looks at himself as, hey, I'm the reason that this team wins, and so when we lose, me not doing enough is why we lost. I think he takes that upon himself. But I guess what I'm saying is, in being fair, when I thought on Monday or Tuesday or whenever it is we talked about this, I thought Vrabel was taking a crack at Derrick Henry. I guess I changed my opinion on it because clearly that's not how Derek took it. And I felt like Derek's response was pretty authentic.
Oh, yeah, I do too. And it's easy to say, hey, you know, I left a little bit of meat on the bone. I could have done more. I could have done better. It's easy to say that when you look at Derek's stat sheet from Sunday. And it wasn't a spectacular game. It wasn't like a 180-yard performance that you sometimes see from Derrick Henry. But I do wonder this. Let's say Derek pops off for 150 yards.
Okay.
Two touchdowns. Titans still lose. I feel like Derek is the kind of player that would still come out and say, I could have done more. Even though it's ridiculous to ask him to do more with 150 yards and two touchdowns.
It's hard to assume.
And I don't know, but I do feel like he's the kind of player that would.
I think you're onto something. Like I certainly think that there's a point that you're making that I hear, which is that no matter what happens, Derek will always take the blame, even if it's not his fault. He'll always take the blame. Now, he didn't take the blame in the Bengals' loss, but he wasn't asked to take the blame in the Bengals' loss.
And if he took the blame in the Bengals' loss, I think that would have been squashed real quick.
Yeah. I don't know what to say other than to say, like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe my standards for Derrick Henry should have been higher than what I saw. Like, maybe when this team loses and Derek doesn't run for 150 yards like he did against the Jets, then we should look at Derek and say, hey, the expectation here is for you to do better. It's like Brady lost a Super Bowl against the Eagles, and Brady threw for like 350 yards in that game, and it was Belichick's defense that let them down and is why they lost, and he benched Malcolm Butler and everything else. But isn't there still a little part of you that thinks about that game where Brady got strip sacked in the last drive and thinks, you're Tom Brady. You should get the ball down by a touchdown or whatever it was, down by a field goal maybe or 4 points or I can't remember. You're Tom Brady. You go down the field and win that game.
No, but that's what I don't want to do is put blame on Derrick Henry. When I after that game, when I saw on Twitter, you know, people saying Derek needs to do more, Derek needs to do more. We saw in the text line
were
on Monday.
People were saying that?
Even in the text line on Monday, I even said it to you. I said, it is astonishing how much love Derek Henry can get. And after one game where he is not Superman, people turn on him so quickly. Because we got so many texts in the text line on Monday saying, where was Derek Henry? We need more from Derek. But that loss was not on Derek Henry. Sure, you would have loved to see him pop off a 40 or 50-yard run. But when Mike Vrabel talks about sometimes Derek can just make magic, he does, and that's when you see those big runs. But I'm not going to put that on Derek Henry for not being able to make magic happen when there just aren't holes for magic to be made.
But then Derek said there was meat on the bone, and Vrabel said there was meat on the bone. And
of course Derek said that.
But Vrabel saying it too.
Yeah, see, Vrabel saying it I think is strange because Vrabel never does that kind of thing.
Vrabel wouldn't lie
about that. We need to be better in this.
I know.
But Vrabel never, I don't want to say throwing under the bus, because I don't think he was throwing Derrick Henry under the bus, but he never highlights one area and really highlighting one player and saying we needed to be better there. It's always we as coaches need to coach better. We as a team need to be better. Yeah, it's not the running game left too much meat on the bone.
Yeah, the part that, like, Derek's a part of it, you know, that right. There is certainly something to that. 615-737-1025. We'll get your phones on this. 615-737-1025. And speaking of Derek, the reality of Monday night's game for the Titans. Now, we went over the four previous games that the Titans have played against the Bills, in which I believe the underdog has prevailed all four times, and that something crazy has happened in all four of those games. And I am going to tell you one thing that absolutely, positively has to happen, no way around it, no chance to even, no discussion. We'll get to that coming up next. Don't miss the pregame show this Monday night, live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Join me, D. Mace, and we'll have a cameo from Chris Sanders because he's got football practice, but a cameo from Chris Sanders from 3:45 to 5:45 prior to the Titans and the Bills. The pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company.
Derek, it's only week 2, but do you guys as a team go into this week saying, you know, our backs are against the wall, we can't go 0-2, anything like that?
We're not getting too overwhelmed about week 1. All we can do is control what we control and come out here until Monday comes and get better as the week goes on and go out there and try to win a game on Monday. You know, that's week 1. In this game, you get another opportunity, and that's all you can hope for.
There you go, Derrick Henry. I got to say this, as I was driving up to Louisville for the big Louisville-Florida State game tonight on ESPN, and I was driving up, and I was listening to the press conferences, and I was listening to Derek. Derek was important, but I thought Todd Downing was probably the bigger story today. I was listening to Derek, and I'm like, man, he never says anything controversial. He never says anything that any team could take and run back into the back with and say, can you believe what Derrick Henry said about us? He just never does it.
Fantastic. He doesn't really say much of all and much of anything.
Probably pretty true. So, I do have this one take on the Bills game, which is for everybody out there, and we've talked about, you know, 82 yards for Derrick, the way it played out. Vrabel said meat left on the bone. Derrick said he was right. Whether or not Derrick could have done more to beat the Giants or whatever, Derrick's going to have to do more in order to beat the Bills. If this team has any prayer of beating the Buffalo Bills, Derrick Henry is going to have to do more. He's going to have to control the game. Derrick's played the Bills 4 times since Josh Allen has been the quarterback. So the last 4 years, the Titans have played the Bills. Derrick, when he was in a backup role to Deion Lewis, 11 carries for 56 yards. He averaged 5 yards a crack. And this goes back to why I think Matt LaFleur was the biggest dummy when he was the offensive coordinator here with Derrick Henry and decided to stick Deion Lewis out there over Derrick Henry, because Derrick would have games like that and he'd only have 11 carries in bad weather so Taywan Taylor and Deion Lewis can fumble away the football game. And they lost that game by 1 point. So maybe they could have used a little bit more Derrick in their lives. 56 yards, not enough. The next year, 20 carries, 78 yards, including a 24-yarder and a touchdown from Derrick. And that wasn't good enough because Cairo Santos missed all his field goals and got cut the next week. So again, even though Derrick had a good game, 4 yards a carry, 78 yards on 20 carries and 1 touchdown and 24-yard rush, not good enough. Now, Josh Allen turned the ball over 3 times in the 2020 game, the miracle COVID game on the Vrabel special. Derrick had 19 carries for 57 yards and 2 touchdowns, so he only averaged 3 yards a carry. He had a massive stiff arm of Josh Norman in that game, but honestly, Derrick wasn't really all that dominant. But because of the turnovers, the Titans jumped out early. Tannehill was electric in that game, and he didn't even throw for 200 yards. He threw for 3 touchdowns, and he rushed for another in that game. That was a fluke game if there ever was one. Not to take anything away from anybody, but that was a fluke game. Last year, Derrick Henry had 143 yards. He averaged 7.2 yards a carry, including a 76-yard touchdown run that changed the entire game.
Holy.
So, long story short, with the Bills' pass rush as good as it is, and with the Bills as jazzed up as they probably are, with all the hype coming off the great win they had at Buffalo, or at the Rams, I believe Buffalo is looking at this game thinking, make Tannehill beat us. That's all we have to do. Make Tannehill beat us. When they beat us last year, Derrick Henry rushed for 100 and whatever yards, and he had the 76-yarder, and he averaged 7 yards a crack, and we can't let that happen. So we just got to make Tannehill beat us. When they beat us 2 years ago, we beat ourselves. That's what they're saying. Let me say this. They're not wrong if that's what they believe. The Titans are going to have to run the ball because the Titans defense is not going to hold up against that offense. Titans defense is good. Their offense is elite. And the Titans offensive line, an old PT out there, they're not going to be able to hang with the Bills against that pass rush. The Bills will rush 4 against the Titans 5, and let's not forget, Nate Davis did not practice today with a knee injury, and he wasn't on the injury report yesterday, which makes me worry that he did something to that knee in practice, and it gets me worried. But I think we can all agree, right? The Bills 4 will get home to the Titans if they just leave the 5, right?
Yes. But also, I mean, take the Bills' pass rush away. I don't know how many games the Titans can win without running the ball. And then add in the Bills' pass rush, and that just emphasizes that even more.
I'm not going into, like, the whole, you know, when I talk about running the ball, there's running the ball. Like, I thought the Titans ran the ball fine on Sunday against the Giants.
Yeah.
They got to have more against the Bills. Like, they got to really freaking jam it down them. Like, they got to run the ball. They got to get, you know, 150 yards on the ground between Haskins and Henry, and they got to average about 5 yards a crack here. Like, they have got to control the clock, control the tempo, get big plays from their running game, let the run and the fear of the run and the play action pass set up the passing game. That's what has to happen. And so if we think the Bills can get there 4-on-5, then that means that in any passing situation, Swaim has to stay in. So now it's 4-on-6, and at that point the Bills can drop 7 into coverage, and you've only got 4 guys going out. And I think I would say that they're probably going to have to leave the running back in there too. So now it's 3 versus 7 for Tannehill on 3rd and 9. Punt.
Yeah, I don't like those odds.
That's what it is. Punt. And so, I mean, to be just completely fair, the running game has got to dominate for the Titans on Monday night. When we talk about,
you could argue that's how they beat the Bills last year.
That is exactly how they beat the Bills. They beat the Bills last year because the running game dominated, and they beat the Bills 2 years ago because Josh Allen threw 2 interceptions in the first half that set up Titan touchdowns.
And I don't see Josh Allen doing that this year.
I'm not banking on it. So, I mean, I know Vrabel was talking about big plays yesterday and how they got 7. They lead the NFL with 7 pass plays of over 20 yards, and they're going to need, you know, big plays on Monday night. They're going to need to run the ball effectively. They averaged 4.5 yards a crack on first down last week. They're going to need to do that again this week. You know, and really average 5 yards a crack, 6 yards a crack, and keep the game manageable the whole time, because a 3rd and long against this team, they're in trouble. And so I don't want to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, or I don't want to put too much on Derrick Henry's shoulders when every team that plays the Titans is defensively going out of their way to keep Derrick Henry from doing the absolute thing that he's got to do. But he's got to do it. He's got to do it, or else they don't have a chance. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What do we have?
One texter texts in and says, it's tough for Derrick Henry to make magic when they're doing a freaking tight end end around on 3rd and short. That's Henry magic time, when the defense is stacked to stop the short yardage and everyone on defense is within 3 yards.
Okay, so I'm going to just say this. When the Titans played the Texans a couple years ago, we went through that game just as a random Arthur Smith game we picked.
Mm-hmm.
They ran an end around with Jonnu Smith on a 3rd down and gained 57 yards. And so if that end around with Chigakonkwo, if that ended up being a 57-yard end around, then they wouldn't have said, well, what can Derrick Henry do when you're running that play? So we're going to have to get over that, everybody. Like, you're going to have to get over it.
It was still a dumb play call, but
it was a dumb play call. And Todd Downing took responsibility for that play call today. So everybody needs to move on. Derrick Henry has to – this has to be like Derrick Henry at the Ravens in the playoffs a couple years ago, where it is Derrick's getting it on every play, everybody knows it, and they can't stop it. And they're going to – and I don't know how they're going to do that, especially if Nate Davis doesn't play. I don't know how they're going to do that. Let me tell you who I'm scared to death of on Monday night. Brewer.
Oh.
I'm worried about Brewer.
Brewer was kind of a liability on Sunday.
Yeah, Brewer was
not
very
just
good.
Penalties. But
I was worried. I was seriously worried about Aaron Brewer. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're right back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I love Fireball whiskey. Why? Because it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than to do it with ice-cold Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Football season is here. It is time to enjoy the games, whether you're tailgating with your buddies, you're going to the game, you're watching them at home, you're having a bunch of people over. Fireball Whiskey, it's the best. That's right. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. Ignite the night. Please do responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinema Whiskey.
We remember about, I guess, a young Von Miller when you guys were in school at Texas A&M, and would you prefer to see him in the offseason rather than showing up on, you know, game day?
I don't mind seeing him, but I just don't want him within my bubble, you know what I mean, which is tough to do. He's a heck of a football player. He was back at A&M when I was able to call him a teammate, made a bunch of plays for us in Aggieland, and I think he's only improved upon that, you know, throughout his time in the NFL. You know, he's fast, he's slippery. He's got power, you know, so he has every tool that you look for in an edge rusher, and, you know, he's been dominant over the course of his career.
You hate that when he says Aggieland, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
I do. Made a lot of plays for us back there in Aggieland. Giggle.
Why?
I don't know.
Like, if I went to college with somebody and I, you know, would talk about, yeah,
in
you know,
Cardinal we were, Land.
You know, we were good friends back in the Ville. Would be what we would say.
Barf.
Be like, you know, we were
I would hate that, too.
No, he was...
Yeah, you know, me and my buddies back there in Tigerland. Like, no.
Well, what do they call LSU?
Like, LSU.
No, what do they, like, you know... Yeah, down in the bayou, we they don't say
nobody
that there,
says that.
Yeah.
Nobody
That's
says
That's like
Bean that.
Town. Like, nobody in Boston says Bean Town.
Yeah, no. No. Nobody calls... who lives in Nashville calls it Nash Vegas.
So... You know how sometimes you got to read between the lines of these press conferences about what these guys are saying?
Yeah.
Todd Downing today was asked about the difference between the Giants and the Bills and their front and how it's different from the Giants. And I thought Todd Downing gave a really, really telling answer that also should probably depress a lot of Titan fans. Here's what Todd Downing said today.
Yeah, that's the fun of the NFL, right? Every week's a different challenge. Last week it was a little bit more scheme and figuring out how you're going to block things up. And this week it's about matchups and knowing our opponent. So we've got to dive into understanding who we're blocking, right, and having, you know, a protection plan for some of those edge rushers and then, you know, make sure we're doing everything we can to help those guys in one-on-one situations.
Do you know what that sounded like to me hearing that was? Yeah, last week they didn't have good players, but we were worried about their scheme. This week, we're not worried about their scheme.
They just have
we're
good just, players.
We're just worried that their team's too good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like playing a John Calipari coach basketball team. We know we're not getting outcoached. Unfortunately, John Calipari's got every five-star player on the court. So we better figure something out here.
But the
and
thing
that's is, what the Titans' defense or offensive line is looking at against the pass rushers of the Bills.
The thing is, he's not wrong. Like, they're not wrong in thinking that.
The one thing I would say is I am worried about the Bills scheming things up. They've got a defensive head coach. They've got the two best safeties, or the best safety combination in the National Football League, and that means that they can trick people around. But I did promise phones. 615-737-1025. What do we have on this Fireball Hot Take Friday?
Belvis has a quick clarification. Says that 2019 Texans game, it was not a tight end in round of Jonnu. He was lined up at running back, and it was a toss sweep. Derek had a hamstring strain that game and was playing through it.
Was that the Texans game where they did that, or was that the Saints game where they ran the toss sweep to Jonnu?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Because I thought that Jonnu,
there was a toss
the Saints
sweep
game,
in there.
Yeah.
Where he lined up as a running back. That is, he did do that at one point.
Yeah,
I don't remember which game it was. Let me try and look it up.
This texture says the Texans game.
Right. There was a 57-yard run for Jonnu in the Texans game, but I thought that he lined up and they pitched it to him. The pitch was in the Saints game, but I could be totally wrong. The thing about the Titans don't have this player. Okonkwo maybe becomes this player. But that no one calls it this because it's such a disgraceful position, or it's such a disgraceful naming of the position. Like that Aaron Hernandez position where you can move a tight end into running back and you can hand the ball off 20 times a game to your tight end. That takes a special kind of player. And I'm surprised Belichick hasn't done more of that with Jonnu Smith. He had one catch on Sunday for the Patriots.
It was the Houston game.
It was?
In a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 for 57.
Okay, my bad on that one. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, I think the offense and defense will be fine. The Titans need to make sure they play as clean of a game as possible with little to no penalties. I think that will be the difference in the game.
I could say that with 90% of the teams they play. The Dallas Cowboys, for instance. If the Titans don't make mistakes against the Dallas Cowboys, don't turn the ball over, don't commit penalties, they can beat the Dallas Cowboys. But the Buffalo Bills are better than the Dallas Cowboys. And here's my other thought on that, too. Other than the two big plays they gave up to the Giants, didn't the Titans play a fairly clean game against the Giants?
Yeah.
So
and I can't really look too far into the penalties on Sunday just because that crew is so all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have said, you know, Aaron Brewer needs to clean it up. But, I mean, Tannehill didn't turn the football over. They didn't do anything egregious on Sunday. So I would say you'd play just as clean of a game as possible. But that's also true for any game the Titans play. You know, if you commit stupid penalties and if you turn the ball over against the Giants, the Jets, the Jags, or against the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Bengals, you're going to lose.
What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, I think one thing that could be a wild card in this game is Tannehill's running ability.
I don't think so. Like, the Bills have incredible linebackers. So Tremaine Edmonds is the TD said that he is like the Derrick Henry of linebackers, like that size, the speed, everything else.
Yeah.
Milano, their middle linebacker, is a really, really, really good player. The thing about Buffalo that sets them apart from almost everybody else is, and let's use Kansas City, let's use the teams that we saw last night. The stars of the Chargers are really good. Derwin James is really good. Joey Bosa is really good. Mike Williams is really good. Justin Herbert is really good. The rest of their team, they're fine. But those guys are all really, really good players. Every team has players like that. The Bills, their other players are awesome. And nobody talks about Gabriel Davis. And that not a lot of people talk about Dawson Knox. Mm-hmm. And very few people talk about Matt Milano and Edmonds and Poyer and Hyde. And that is what really scares me, is they've got great linebackers, great safeties. I'm not in favor of running Tannehill, you know, and trying to be cute with it. I'm in favor of running it and seeing if they can stop it. And then setting up the play action and taking some shots and getting the ball in Burks' hands and seeing if he can break some tackles or do something, you know, special with the ball in his hands. I'm not trying to out-trick or out-cute the Buffalo Bills. What's next?
Andrew texts in about Derrick Henry. Said he looked slow and is the modern-day Terrell Davis. He was unstoppable for 3 years, but all the fanboys have crazy expectations and think he will be like that for a decade straight.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks that, right? Like, we don't think that.
No, we've said so many times leading up to this season, Derrick Henry is going to decline. We just don't know when.
Yeah, you can we just don't know hope when. That
it's,
when.
It's later rather than sooner. And I don't think anyone thinks that Derrick Henry is going to be unstoppable for the next decade, but I also don't think that an 80-yard game against the Giants is indicative that Derrick Henry is declining.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. Like, this idea of it all being one way or another way. I mean, Terrell Davis played 5 years in the NFL. Derrick Henry's in his seventh season. He's in his seventh season. Good God. He's in his seventh season.
Yeah.
I am so old. Wow.
Well, he was drafted, what, 15 or 16?
16. He was drafted on the night of a Nashville Predators-San Jose Sharks playoff game, and he was drafted after both Kevin Dodd, who's been out of the league for 5 years, and Austin Johnson, who was on the Chargers last night, and who used to live in my neighborhood and is a good man. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, do you think the Titans were thinking they were going to roll over the Giants so they didn't want to put anything on tape on what they really want to do against the Bills? Is that why they were so predictable?
Fair question about this is, to me, is do we think – we know the players screwed around at halftime no matter what Kevin Byard says. Do we think the coaches went into the Giants game and said, hey, let's keep these plays in the kitty in the back pocket. Let's not bust them out unless we have to. And then at halftime said, hey, let's put some stuff on tape to make the Bills worry about it that we're not going to use, like the Wildcat play with Henry. Let's put that on there. We're up 13-0. We're going to win the game. Let's put this on the tape, and let's go from there. Or do we think that the Titans' game plan was just not good enough?
If they did that at halftime, I think that's really stupid.
It's either really stupid or it's really smart. That is only stupid if it doesn't work. If they set up a play in the Wildcat, and remember, Tannehill was running on that play, which I still don't totally understand, but let's just say for what it's worth. Let's say Tannehill's running on that play, and Derrick Henry throws it. Because he might have. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he would have, but let's just say he does. Buffalo has to prepare for that on Monday night, regardless of whether or not the Titans are going to do it or if they're going to do the exact opposite out of the same thing. Buffalo has to take time out of their week to practice that play. I get it. I understand it. I get it.
I just don't agree with it. If that is what the case was.
I mean, I'm not going to accuse the Titans of doing it, but I also think that it's one of those things that if the Titans took care of their business and they had won that game and they had put that play on tape and Buffalo had spent all this time working on that play and then the Titans run a counter to that and so it totally catches Buffalo by surprise and the Titans get a touchdown off of it, it's brilliant. You know what I mean? There's a Greg Maddux.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story years ago. Greg Maddux, they're playing the Houston Astros, and they would end up playing the Astros in the playoffs. So before the game, Greg Maddux says to his catcher, Eddie Perez, he tells Eddie Perez, nothing inside to Bagwell the entire game. Jeff Bagwell's Hall of Famer, was the best hitter on the Astros. He says, nothing inside to Bagwell. Eddie Perez says, okay. It's the seventh or eighth inning. It's like 8-1 Atlanta. Maddux calls Eddie Perez out to the mound and says, we're throwing a changeup inside. And Eddie Perez says, what do you mean? Maybe it was 8-0 or whatever. He's like, let's go for the shutout. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, no. We're going to throw him a changeup inside. Hangs a changeup inside. Bagwell hits it over the fence. Eddie Perez is like, what are you thinking about? Maddux goes, we're going to play them in the playoffs. And when we do, I want him looking for that changeup inside every time he goes up there, and he's never going to get it. Like, there is an element to this that...
Yeah, there's a good bit of mind tricking that you have to do.
If it works. And so, I'm not going to accuse the Titans of preparing for Buffalo or trying to set up Buffalo in the second half of the Giants game, but I also would say, like, hey, you know, and I don't think it's crazy either. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Josh Heupel, did you see this?
Yes, they did, and I don't understand.
They snuck in, like, a contract extension, or is it an extension or a pay raise? I don't even know.
Just a raise for the remainder of his contract.
Okay, we'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025 is the phone number here on the program. Hey, tune into this Sunday's NFL Games of the Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got the Patriots and the Steelers at noon, followed by the Bengals and the Cowboys. The NFL Game of the Week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So, Tennessee today. I couldn't believe this. I just saw a headline, I guess, on 3, which that's Rivals, right?
No, it's basically like Rivals or 247, but it's a different entity.
Okay, so on 3, VolQuest reports that Josh Heupel has received a $1 million a year raise. So the Vols were 7-6 last year, according to this, that his contract was amended. It runs through January 31st of 2028, which makes me think that they added a year, because usually these run in six-year cycles.
Added a year and $1 million each year.
And $1 million each year. His buyout, should he leave, is $8 million. If he leaves before December 15th of next year, it drops to $2 million a year accordingly after that. And the assistants all got raises as well. Can I ask a question?
Why?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what's
I'm
he
not
done?
I'm not knocking Heupel. I mean, Heupel's, he's still the 11th highest paid coach in the SEC, which he's probably better than the 11th best coach in the SEC.
Yes.
Just off the top of my head. I think he's doing a good job, but do they really need to get in the business of giving him a raise and giving him an extension and paying the coordinators more? And do they really need to do that? Because everybody acts like, you know, this is a good faith gesture from Tennessee to show Josh Heupel that they truly care and that they will take care of him so he won't leave Tennessee, when it's like, let's say a better job comes open.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville.
What?
Let's say, hey, Charlie Strong decided to pick
let's
Louisville over Tennessee.
Let's say Oklahoma is open.
Okay.
That's
let's
where
say
he went.
Open. So, and boy, he would love that, to shove it up Bob Stoops' fanny.
100%.
After Bob Stoops fired him as the OC there.
Right.
So let's say that. Well, if that job comes open, he's going to take that job anyways. Like, he's going to take that. It's not like this is what's going to happen. He's making $5 million now.
Uh-huh.
Let's say Tennessee wins some more and somebody wants to hire him and somebody wants to make him, you know, the highest paid coach in the country. They want to pay him $8 million, $9 million, $10 million is what they're making now, $11 million, whatever Dabo and Saban signed for. Somebody wants to do that. Well, then Tennessee's going to have a choice. Pay him $11 million or lose him. And it's not going to matter that they gave him a $1 million a year raise after going 6-6 in his first year.
I do. It makes me wonder, was there something that led Tennessee to feel like they had to do this? Like, was Nebraska calling about Josh Heupel, saying, okay, you're making $4 million at Tennessee, we'll give you $4.5 million. And then Tennessee says, nope, we'll give you $5 million and an extension. Because I don't think very many moves are made with time and money just out of the goodness of someone's heart. That's so, like when Derrick Henry had the quote-unquote raise, and it was said that it was because the Titans wanted to show how much they appreciated Derrick Henry. No, it wasn't. There's always an ulterior motive here.
I'm going to guess that this was done before the season and that it now just
after
got
after 1-7-6 year.
Yes.
He gets an extension
so
and a raise.
I do know this about a lot of coaches' contracts are, they roll.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, you know, we signed you to a four-year deal, but it rolls every year. And then if you start doing a bad job, it doesn't roll anymore.
Right.
And so it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted to roll Heupel's contract over. And then they looked at some of the other SEC coaching salaries. And they said, you know, the average coaching salary was this, and then Brian Kelly signs for $10 million bucks, so now it goes to that. And so, it's not like the Jeremy Pruitt contract extension, where that was like a real big extension. It was like, why? But I still have the same feeling with Heupel, which is, so far I like what I see out of Josh Heupel.
Yes.
I do. I think that Tennessee finally, for the first time in, you know, who knows how long, there seems to be a level of competence at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they won a great game last week, and they're going to crush Akron, and they're probably going to beat Florida, and, you know, they may win 9 or 10 games. The issue that I have with all of this, but the issue that I have is more so about just giving another guy an extension. It's like, can
it's
we
also
have a standard of you have to win something before you get an extension? I mean,
But it's also such a dinky little extension and raise that what's the point?
It is truly to just roll it over a little bit.
Yeah. It's just, here's a little pay
we
bump.
Liked ya,
we liked you after 1 year, so here's $1 million.
Here's the other problem I have with this, which is what he did last year was good for 1 year. Like, it was good for year one,
mm-hmm,
to go 7-6, play a very competitive Music City Bowl, make this program that has looked like hot garbage, you know, look like a real sometimes football program. Like, that was a good year. But that's not going to be accepted in year four. So why are we adding, you know, a year 7 onto this when we don't know what it's going to look like in year 4?
And that's why
let's say Tennessee
I find it
wins,
puzzling.
Let's say Tennessee goes 10-2 this year. Like I said that Tennessee is going to do. They go 10-2. The SEC probably gets two teams into the playoff. They're probably in the Sugar Bowl at 10-2. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Then you can give him a contract, and you won't hear one word out of me about it. But after the first year,
And a year that, albeit, has been more exciting than Tennessee years of the past, of recent history.
No.
That it was still 7-6.
Last year wasn't more exciting than Jeremy Pruitt's second year. Jeremy Pruitt's second year, they were 8-4. Won a bowl game. They were nine. That was a 9-win football team.
But after that year, I think Tennessee fans were more excited or more optimistic than they had been any time with Jeremy Pruitt. Maybe
no,
I'm wrong.
No. After that second year with Pruitt, I mean, I told you that when they signed Pruitt to an extension before year three in 2020, I said, why? I had the same reaction I have now, which is, why? You know, not that Pruitt was doing a bad job, but he was doing an okay job,
but
in my opinion.
The same thing that Pruitt did is the same thing that Heupel did. It was fine. It was fine. 8-4.
Nine wins is pretty good.
Did he win? Was it 9 or was it 8?
They won 9 that second year because they beat Indiana in a bowl game.
But so, 8 in the regular season.
Yes.
8-4 in the regular season. 7-5 in the regular season.
That's nothing super exciting. No, but that's better than what they did last year. Like,
yes.
They were.
But this also isn't an extension that was the caliber of Jeremy Pruitt.
I'm just saying, like, I had the same reaction then, but the fans thought Pruitt was the guy. Like, the reaction then was, they're doing this to show Pruitt how much they care about him so that when Alabama calls, when Saban hangs his, Pruitt will choose to stay at Tennessee instead of go back to Alabama. And that's where I'm like, we don't need to worry about Josh Heupel going to Oklahoma right now. Just like we didn't need to worry about Butch Jones going to Michigan in 2014 after one season at Tennessee.
But I do.
615, hold that thought. 615-737-1025. Chad Withrow will join us. Outkick 360. He will do that coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on it. We'll get his thoughts on the Josh Heupel extension. Why? We'll also get his thoughts on the Titans and the Bills. We'll do that all coming up. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063. The game.